Development Business, Pablo Rullave, Vice President of Corporate Finance for Odinsa, and Andrés Bejarano, President of Pactio. I want to remind you all that our website, you can find all the available information for this quarter, together with the presentation that we'll be following during this teleconference. To download it, you can access the menu, financial information, and afterwards in the section reports. I want to invite you now to move on to slide number 3 of the presentation so we can start our meeting, for which I give the word to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Vargas. Thank you, Juan Esteban, and good afternoon to you all. Those that are with us today, thank you for flexibility and for accepting this hour and this time that we've proposed for this conference. We also want to thank you for your presence. And as it's been usual, we have a conversation starting by reviewing from our side the presentation that we have available. And afterwards, we have a space for you all to ask those questions that you consider necessary. As you might see, year 2022 has been an extraordinary year for our businesses. But nevertheless, the relation of this results with the price of Grupo Argos stock and the fundamental value of the company still are inconsistent. That's why we want to start by sharing with you how are we advancing in these different strategies, strategic strategies that we have for this business, so we could defend the share of our stakeholders, and so this could be materialized in the in our business vision, in the listing of the different strategic assets, the different stock markets, more efficient stock markets, and the simplification of the society structure of the company for there to be a real transfer of value and a more direct and clear value to all our shareholders. So let us start by the listing of the cement assets for Argos in the United States in the New York Stock Exchange, where we are glad to say that we've successfully advanced in this line. In what we have announced at the beginning of this year, we want to reiterate that the listing of the cement operation of Argos in the United States in the New York Stock Exchange keeps as a strategic priority for this organization that's articulating the necessary efforts in order to materialize in the right moment. Within the most relevant milestones for these operations, we want to highlight the refinancing of $750 million of debt that strengthened the capital structure and the liquidity structure with variable rate conditions linked to different ACG indicators, as the naming of Simon Best as CEO Argos United States. So I want to invite you now move on to the infrastructure slide that you have on your screen. In addition to what we've acted in terms of the listing of the cement assets in the United States, the entrance of Macquarie Asset Management as Odinsa partner shows the trust of a first-level investor in the different strategic initiatives that the organization has been advancing, in this case, in consolidating the infrastructure assets for Grupo Argos in just one vehicle that afterwards can be listed in a liquid and efficient stock exchange. We also want to highlight that the listing of this vehicle will happen in the midterm after this has been structured, consolidated, and with favorable market conditions in order to have the right price that can transfer this value to our shareholders. This segment has been the axis of Grupo Argos for the last 10 years, and the materialization of the transaction will allow us to keep on advancing in the consolidation of a regional platform for infrastructure assets. Right now, we're evaluating the different mechanisms and different business alternatives in terms of society, in terms of finances, that will be the most efficient in order to consolidate this vehicle that will unite assets with similar characteristics, in which want to highlight stable cash flows, predictable cash flows, and with a long-term investment horizon. In addition, this consolidation will allow an optimization to maximize operational efficiencies, taxation efficiencies, and capital structure efficiencies. It's also worth to mention that this business model is essentially the same that other infrastructure asset managers, such as Brookfield or Blackstone, where the company acts as a professional private funds and charges administration commissions and success commissions to the different fund investors. During the last years, Grupo Argos and its different branches have advanced in this direction and have successfully created private capital funds for types of assets where we've linked as additional investors, such as the case of Macquarie or Cubico Sustainable Investments in the energy business. This grouping will enable a larger growth and will allow us to maximize the profitability, given that the company will not just have returns for the dividends of its investments, but will also be remunerated by its intellectual capital and due to the management capacity for these assets. In this line, we want to broaden a bit the information that we have in terms of the closure of the airport platform, that for 1.4 billion Colombian pesos between Odinsa and Macquarie Asset Management, we have recently announced that this is a very important milestone in the consolidation of Grupo Argos as an infrastructure asset manager. That's a key player in the region. Macquarie and Odinsa, each one will have a 50% participation in the airport platform that at the end of this transaction will count with 65% of Opine's ownership for Bogota El Dorado Airport and 46% for Quiport, that's Mariscal Sucre Airport in Quito. In order to perfection the business between Grupo Argos and Odinsa, we'll sell to Macquarie Infrastructure Partners 32.5% of Opaín for 221 billion, and for Quiport $81.5 million. Afterwards, this will be contributed to the platform. In addition, Odinsa will contribute the remnant participation in these concessions at the same platform. Given its broad capacity, experience, and knowledge of these assets, Odinsa will continue being the manager of that private capital fund. We want to celebrate and thank for the trust of Macquarie, a strategic ally, first-level strategic ally that shares our investment philosophy. Macquarie is an Australian company that offers financial services that administrates the different assets around the world and leads the main infrastructure fund around the world, has assets under their administration that reach $500 billion, has experience in the sector with more than 50 roads around the world, and as well as for Grupo Argos, Macquarie assists sustainability and guaranteeing the highest labor and ethics standard as fundamental for the investment process. This new platform will be additionally constituted by all the different private initiatives led by Odinsa in Colombia, knowing that the new Cartagena airport that seeks to develop the necessary infrastructure to support the demand of passengers traveling through that city for the next 50 years. Second, El Dorado Max, an efficient solution to maximize the usage of the current terminal of the Bogota airport. And third, the fine fuel of El Dorado that's thinking about improvements in the different roads and landways. Now I want to invite you to move on to a slide that summarizes the consolidated financial results. The consolidated results of our operations allowed us to close September with accumulated revenues of 15.6 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 31% compared with the same period last year, and an EBITDA of 3.9 trillion Colombian pesos with a 14% growth. From its side, the net profit closed in 1.05 trillion Colombian pesos, growing 10%, and the net profit of the controller in 583 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 17%. In the 10 year period, the consolidated revenues of the company went from 6.7 trillion in 2012 to 16.3 trillion in December 2021, with a compound annual growth of 9.3%. In last years, more than half of these revenues have come from outside Colombia, which proves the consolidation of the international presence of this business group. And besides this, since 2017, on average, 40% of our revenues have come from different sources than the cement business. Our diversification has not just been geographical, but also our business lines. In this same period of 10 years, the EBITDA went from 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos to 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos, with a compound annual growth of 10.4%, higher than the increase in revenues. Finally, the net profit went from 344 billion Colombian pesos to 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos, with a compound annual growth of 13.3%. We are glad about this, not just because of our expansion, but because this has been supported by a better position and a stronger financial soundness. In a volatile environment of our exchange rate, Grupo Argos counts with a larger stability and flexibility because of the benefits that we've had from the diversification of our different growths in the last decade. Now, I want you to go over a summary of the cement business. At the end of this quarter, Cementos Argos reported an EBITDA that has been the largest in its history, empowered by the favorable results in Colombia and mainly from the United States. This added to the efforts to mitigate the inflation pressure and the energy costs, has allowed the company to keep its EBITDA goals in more than 2 trillion Colombian pesos for the end of this year. Despite a challenging economic future in terms of the housing sector, as well as due to inflation, the cement business had a growth of 23% year after year in its EBITDA, everything driven by the competitive advantages of its logistics network and because of the capacity of transferring the increase of costs into the price. Prices increased in 16% in the United States, 18% in Colombia, and 26% in Central America and the Caribbean. And this is a proof of the operational excellency that this company has, that since 2017 to 2022 shows that EBITDA goes from 1.4 trillion to more than 2 trillion Colombian pesos, while the net debt over EBITDA ratio drops from 4.6 times to 2.8 times. In operational terms, the cement volumes reached 4.2 million tons, slightly less than from previous year. The concrete business presented a growth of 6% in dispatches, reaching almost 1.9 million cubic meters. The Argos cement revenues reached 3.1 trillion Colombian pesos with an annual growth of 25%. The EBITDA reached 583 billion Colombian pesos. This means an increase of 23% compared with what recorded same quarter last year. In particular, we need to highlight that this was in great measure due to the U.S. regional that presented growths for more than 20%, both in revenues as well as in EBITDA. Now, I want to invite you to move on to see the results of the energy business. For the third quarter, Celsia continues accumulating positive and outstanding results. The strategy that has been led by the company in last years focused on strengthening the generation portfolio for renewable energies, added with the stable flows that have been consolidated with the consolidation of the business of the distribution centered in the customer, and also led by the favorable conditions in terms of energy demand, keep impulsing a period of undoubtable growth for this business. During the period, Celsia continued implementing a powerful investment plan that for this moment of the year adds 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos that have been executed. The materialization of this plan ratifies the commitment of the organization with the energy transition in Colombia towards non-conventional renewable energies and the support to the long-term competitiveness of our country. We also want to highlight during this quarter the start of the commercial operation since the 14th of September of El Tesorito plant. With the investment platform to support the renewable generation portfolio that offers competitive and reliable energy to the system. Tesorito counts with an installed capacity of 200 megawatts and is equipped with 11 natural gas engines. The plant counts, besides this, with the load by reliability and energy obligations to 1,665 gigawatts hour per year for a 20-year period. In addition, we also want to highlight that thanks to the dialogue happening in between the different companies and the different guilds of the electric sector, Ministry of Energy and CREG, Celsia decided to follow the government call to modify the indexators of the energy rates. We estimate that this adjustment in the rate will have an impact of approximately 24 billion Colombian pesos for Celsia's revenues in 2022. All these reductions will be 100% translated to our business partners between November and December. We estimate that after the accumulated reduction of both months, the rates in Valle and Tolima will drop into a 5 and 15%, depending on the particular conditions of the market and of the customer. These decisions that benefit our customers represent an effort from the company. These measures will also be supported with operational excellency and financial discipline initiatives in order to maintain the operational margins that remunerate the capital of all our shareholders. Now we want to mention about the results on the upcoming slide. The energy that has been generated for the period closed in 1,400 megawatts and the commercialized 942 megawatts hour, with growths compared with the same period last year of 14 and 4% respectively. This generation commercialization growth added to the better energy prices and usage rates and network connections were reflected in historic financial results for the company. The revenues of the quarter closed in 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos with a 33% increase year after year, leveraged by a larger generation and a better energy price and better rates. The consolidated EBITDA reached 424 billion Colombian pesos when excluding non-recurrent operations, which equals to an annual growth of 34%, led mainly by the positive contribution of all the businesses in Colombia. The EBITDA in the country was of 342 billion Colombian pesos with a 35% growth, while in Central America it reached 82 billion Colombian pesos, growing 29%. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 32%. Now, I want you to move on and review the road and airport concession business, starting from slide number 13. Before going to the operational and financial results of this business that keep showing positive dynamics, we want to broaden over the changes in the bookkeeping that we'll find in the concession business given to the closure of the transaction of the road platform with Macquarie. Since this quarter and towards the future, we'll see a material reduction in the revenues, EBITDA, and net profit of Odensa, explained mainly because of the deconsolidation of Autopista del Café, Malla Vial del Meta, and Túnel de Oriente. The bookkeeping changes reflect the materialization of the asset manager vision and prove the relevant metrics in order to measure ourselves as infrastructure asset managers and must be in the measure of the operational performance and the cash generation of the assets. As towards the future will be reflected via dividends management fees. It's also worth to mention that as product of the generated cash of this transactions with Macquarie, Odensa has been able to reduce notably its leveraging, a key milestone that gives a flexibility in terms of the increase of the exchange rates that we are seeing around the world. The company's consolidated financial debt closed third quarter in 692 billion Colombian pesos, decreasing a 78% respect with the previous year. Product of the resources that we've obtained during these operations. In terms of the separated debt, the balance at the end of the third quarter of this year was of 498 billion Colombian pesos, 67% less in comparison with the same date previous year. Previous to the vertical, these three concessions were accounted as subsidiaries, and because of this, they consolidated in all the lines the financial status of each concession with Odensa. When we sell and we contribute 50% of our participation in these assets to the private capital fund, Odensa must recognize this as an associated investment and keeps it in its books through participation method. This is not consolidated anymore. This means that I take the net profit of the fund proportional to its participation. The same effects we'll see for the airports once we reach the closure of the vertical, as we will detail, as we detailed at the beginning of this call. Now, moving on to the results of the total traffic of the road concessions, Odensa closed the quarter in a figure of 107,000 vehicles per day. This is an increase of 7% compared with the same quarter last year. After excluding the ADN and BTA contribution, the roads that were disinvested in the Dominican Republic. From its side, the airport traffic closed in 10.8 million mobilized passengers, growing 57% compared with the same quarter 2021. Drilling deeper, in the operational metrics of these platforms, the traffic levels continue improving, which ends translating into a larger expected TIR for each one of the concessions. We want to mainly highlight the numbers of Túnel de Oriente, in which the average daily traffic increased in 21% compared with the same period last year, and where it has already reached levels that we estimated would not come up till 2032, meaning by this 10 years after. This is excellent news for the profitability of our assets. Given the changes in bookkeeping, as we've mentioned, from now on, we'll keep transmitting to the market with larger detail the evolution of this operational figures, given that this allows to understand better the way of measuring profitability and the cash flow for the company in each one of these concessions. Drilling down in the traffic metrics for the airports that will be part of the same platform with MIRA, we've found that both OPAI, Bogotá Airport, as Iquitos Airport, present traffic growths higher than 50% compared with last year. This, in consequence, is translated in a larger expected profitability for both concessions, highlighting the expected TIR of El Dorado that goes from 13% to 18% in respect with the previous year. Now, let's move on and look at the figures of Partia and the urban development business. Real estate business operated by Partia had an effective gross revenue of 103 billion Colombian pesos with a 17% growth year after year, and the EBITDA for the quarter was 52 billion Colombian pesos with a 35% increase year after year. After this adjustment due to this investments, gross revenue and EBITDA grew in 16% and 33%. In terms of the same assets for the accumulated year, the operational net revenue and the EBITDA grew a 25% and a 34% versus the same period last year. The business generation dynamic keeps being highly positive. During the quarter, there were contracts renewed for 88,000 square meters, and we commercialized another 25,000 square meters at the end of the period. The fund reached a record commercial occupation for the non-hotel portfolio of 97.4%. The sectors that show the largest recovery were offices and hotels, with a growth in revenues of 24 and 110% respectively compared with the third quarter 2021, mainly driven due to the economic recovery, better occupations in both products, and larger or higher hotel rates. Besides this, the hotel portfolio reached a historic level of 155 billion Colombian pesos with a 17% increase versus the same period last year. Finally, Gran Plaza shopping malls, the average sales per square meters have grown in 19% since the first quarter of this year. And in storage and logistics, we want to highlight that from the 426,000 square meters that we have in industrial assets and the 8 new storage buildings, we closed the quarter with commercial occupations of 99.9 and 91.5% respectively. Now I want to speak about the results of the urban and development business. In this quarter, the urban development business keeps showing very outstanding results. The cash flow revenues for September increased in 57%, obtaining a net cash flow result that's 150% higher than the previous year. This quarter, we had more than 1 billion Colombian pesos of profits in the Sofitel Cala Blanca Hotel, and we started receiving revenues from residential stage 3 from that same project. Besides, we signed 2 promises in the Puerto Colombia terrains that allowed the revenue of more than 4 billion Colombian pesos in cash. In the P&L, this quarter we registered the cession of 2 lots, one in Barranquilla and other one in Barú. With this, we reached a yearly accumulated revenue of 10% in sales revenues. We also want to highlight the success of the call we had for the third stage of Ciudad Mallorquín in Barranquilla, 13 useful hectares from which we'll build 5,000 VIS apartments in the Puerto Colombia municipality. Sufistel is still recognized as one of the best hotels in the region, which is reflected in the rate and returns that has been registering to this date and has led for them to keep on exceeding the expectations that we had stated at the beginning of the operations plans for this asset. The positioning of Sofitel Calablanca, together with the attraction of other brands that are in process of development, have allowed us to advance in the Baru consolidation within the national and regional touristic market. Now, I want to invite you to go over the consolidated results. Revenues reached 5.1 trillion Colombian pesos during this period, which represents a 24% increase if we compare this with the same period last year. Largest sales level was translated in an EBITDA increase that closed in 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos with a 10% increase year after year. While looking at the September results, we report an accumulated EBITDA of 3.9 trillion, with an increase of 14% compared with the same period last year. The net profit of the controller accumulates to the moment 583 billion Colombian pesos, which shows an increase of 17%. On slide number 22, we could see the variation of the contribution of each one of our businesses to the revenue and to the consolidated EBITDA. This can be found in the right side. In this graph, you can clearly see the good performance of all the company, all the businesses of the company, which presented during this quarter a very good operational and financial growth. Even though the concession business presents a reduction to the accounting contribution in the EBITDA, given the disconsolidation of the vertical assets for roads, they're preparing Odinsa for a long-term, powerful growth. Now, I want to invite you to go over slide number 24 in order to analyze the positive evolution of the consolidated indebtedness of the company. In this front, I would like to highlight the amortizations that have been done during the last 12 months that reached 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos, achieving an 8% reduction in its consolidated gross debt and a 13% in the consolidated net debt, going from 16 to 13.9 trillion Colombian pesos. The largest part of the indebtedness reduction is led by Odinsa and Grupo Argus. The separated financial results, as well as consolidated financial results, show positive results. The accumulated revenues are closed in 623 billion Colombian pesos, an 8% increase compared with the same period last year. And at its time, EBITDA closed in 437 billion Colombian pesos, and a net profit in 337 billion Colombian pesos. Separated debt of Grupo Argos, detailed on slide 28, closed the second quarter in 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos, with 99% due dates, with 99% of the due dates after 2023, which grants a complete financial flexibility to the company and allows closing the period with healthy indebtedness indicator and aligned with the current credential rating. Financial rates have increased globally, and this has led to the debt cost close in 10.5%, which represents an increase compared with the rate of September 2021. Nevertheless, the company has implemented a series of hedging mechanisms that have allowed to partially mitigate these rate increases. If the company have not implemented these types of tools, the financing rate could be 300 basic points over the current level. Within the strategies led by the Treasury Office, we want to highlight that the company counts with fixed rent investments for 180 billion Colombian pesos, which generate a positive carry, given that there are performances that are over the actual debt of the cost that we have. Now, I want to speak a little bit about sustainability. These are found in the main axis of the strategy of this company. Moving from the financial results to other milestones in this dimension, it will never be enough to highlight that this company, in this company, we just don't create economic value, but we are completely convinced in the creation of social value. We share with happiness the result of a survey done by Forbes magazine, Grupo Argos, where Grupo Argos were declared as leading companies around the world due to its practices around gender equality. In this addition, the company occupied a privileged place between the more than 400 surveyed companies, being the only Colombian company that has been registered in this ranking. The recognition that we receive, more than pride, with lots of energy to keep on working in order for Grupo Argos to be a better place to work. We also want to emphasize that this is an ongoing process with lots of challenges to be undertaken, that we have approached with our highest conviction for us to play our part in leveling the field for the different collaborators, independent from their gender, race, sexual orientation, political orientation, or background. It's also fulfilling to say that SAP Global has ratified the rating of Grupo Argos in the sustainability global rating. 88 over 100 consolidates this group as one of the best reference in terms of human rights, corporate governance, risks, philanthropy, corporate citizenship. This is another achievement that helps to support the financial solidness of the results for this quarter. In addition, last October, Grupo Argos was reaffirmed as the business group with better reputation in Colombia. According to the last ranking published by Merco, the monitor highlighted Grupo Argos as one of the 10 most valued companies between 100 companies that were measured in Colombia. To close, last week we received with pride that this organization is part of the 12 organizations in the country that have contributed the most to social, environmental, and economic change in Colombia. In this edition, we were recognized by our Creamos Valor Social program. It's an initiative that strengthens the social role of the company, focused in offering opportunities and contributing to the sustainable economic reactivation of the country, more specifically in the young population that requires this the most. Moving on to our guidance and what we have for the rest of the year, I wanted to mention that we keep those numbers that we initially shared. We want to close the year going over the 17 trillion Colombian pesos in consolidated revenues. We hope to end with an EBITDA between 4.4 and 4.6 trillion Colombian pesos, and a net profit between 1.2 and 1.3 trillion. Before closing, I wanted to briefly mention the ongoing OPA that we have with the actions we have with Grupo Nutresa. From Grupo Argos, we want to offer the ease, as we've always done, that this offer will be analyzed independently, objectively, in depth, and professionally by our board. Once the shareholder assembly grants that the required authorizations in terms of potential conflicts of interest of some of the members that have already stated so. For this effect, after 9th of November, we called for an extraordinary meeting of the board that will be held tomorrow. In its right time, the company will share with the market what is the decision taken by the board. For the moment, I would like to briefly mention about the process of the text of the taxation reform that has been happening in the Congress. Finally, I want to celebrate that part of the reform is focused on structural reforms that will be used for closing equality gaps in our society. We agree with principles such as progressiveness, and from the private sector, we've made a call to ensure that the mechanisms where we can access to that collection that the country requires do not go against the competitiveness and the investment appetite that have impulsed the Colombian development during the last decades, and that even today are even more fundamental. From Grupo Argos, we have a conviction towards our country, and we have been quantifying all the possible impact in all our businesses. Nevertheless, we would like to speak about some specific points briefly, just to clarify questions that might arise. First, in Cemento Sargos, I would like to highlight that the Cartagena Free Trade Zone has, besides a very important export participation, a legal stability contract up to 2028, and besides the effect of the royalty taxes is less for our cement business. From another side, in the electric sector, I want to highlight that the company has other revenues further than water generation, such as other sources of distribution. But it seems that this won't be a passive subject to our overrate for hydraulic regeneration, given that this is not its main economic activity. And finally, in Grupo Argos, we want to highlight the fact that during the discussion and final approval, the minimum tax was purged for the holding companies, which would might have had a very significant impact with the double position for Grupo Argos, but that was eliminated in the final text of the reform. Now, I want to give the word to Juan Esteban Mejia so he could proceed with the Q&A segment led by all the executive team that I have in my side. Well, thank you, Jorge. We've been receiving some questions, but I just want to remind you all, those that are connected, you can ask your questions in the Q&A widget that you might find at the bottom side of your screen in the Zoom chat. First question, Sebastian Toro asks about Cemento Sargos. Why aren't you thinking on a spin-off of Argos USA? If this would materialize value directly for Grupo Argos and Cemento Sargos, why not making a dual listing? Well, Sebastian, thank you for your question. It's a very in-depth question. Due to legal effects, given that an asset placed in United States territory, we could not go into specific dates or guidances for this project. But just let me speak about the structural. We've said that the cement assets of Argos in the United States are grouped over a series of investment vehicles. that a group of the cement production assets, concrete terminals, ports, logistics operations in that country. Those assets will be listed in the United States market, and because of this, accessing to the valuation or price of a market with necessary depthness, that value transition that will happen immediately in the moment that those assets are placed in the American market, we'll expect that the appraisal that or the valuation that the market will give to those assets will allow to effectively do what you're saying, and that's a transfer of a direct price marking of the Argos USA asset towards Cementos Argos. That's where they are. And then to a Grupo Argos and the different shareholders, plus a Grupo Argos and its shareholders. Why don't do this with a spin-off or with the separation? This is one of the alternatives that we've looked at. But this also has a certain considerations in terms of taxation and society speaking for certain types of investors that might lead them to think that the best structure and the easiest one in terms of value transfer and the one that we could do the easiest without frictions is for it to be a society vehicle owned by Cementos Argos that's listed. The effect is the same towards Cementos Argos value and towards the shareholders, but the decision has other considerations, fiscal or the possibility or appetite possibility for certain investors to participate in that company. Nevertheless, it's an option that, as you're saying, the dual listing might be done in any moment. The easiest would be doing this under the Argos umbrella, but the total assets, the total independent assets, are the ones that will be listed in that country. Well, in addition, Sebastian Toro also asks, with a projected profit of 1.2 trillion, why don't you repurchase assets, considering that the shares are at 1.75 times equity value. And in addition, it asks what business could offer a better yield than that repurchase. That's a very good question that we've been analyzing, not just in Grupo Argos, but also in our different branches. There's initiatives also that are being studied, reacquisition and mechanisms that we need to verify for there to be the necessary reserves or for there to be a reacquisition in a determined moment. But this is an initiative that we are not leaving aside. I would not like to give a specific answer of where are we going to do this, but it's definitely an alternative that we are studying with lots of interest. We are also in a moment where we're closing the platforms, and this has allowed resources that might be used in this path, but we need to be careful and we need to be also prudent with the flexibility and the liquidity that the company might have in the conditions that we have been presencing in a financing market that's a bit tougher, but also with eventual less liquidity facilities that we've been thinking of. So in the balance of a technical topic compared with its investment to our shareholders and in order to guarantee the payment of dividends and liquidity and the sustainability of the company, we're evaluating that one in between other alternatives. Rodrigo Sanchez asks about Odensa. If there is a pipeline of important projects, many of these projects will just require investments in long and mid-term process. And what will be the destination of resources that will be obtained for the airport vertical? Dividends, repurchases, or acquisitions? I can divide this question into answers, and Maurício, you could maybe mention a little bit about the pipeline of the projects that we have. And afterwards, we can speak about the eventual resources. Maurício, it's also important to mention the closure of the airports, the date we have for the closure of the airports. Well, thank you, Jorge. I want to greet you all. And good afternoon. First is the project of the airport vertical. We have an estimation that it could be first quarter next year. As you will imagine, this will require a series of authorizations, both in Colombia as well as in Ecuador, where we have the authorizations for the grantors, but also for the different entities, superintendencies and other entities that regulate them. As we said, we hope to end this first quarter next year. Second is that during the scope of the commitment we have with Macquarie Alliance, both for roads as well as for airports, in between the parts are there's an understanding and expectation of growth. That's not just supported in the projects that we have in terms of the structuration that I'll be speaking of, but in identifying the different market opportunities, both in Colombia as well as in Latin America, particularly in Peru and Chile, as we had announced when we closed the roads vertical. In that train of thoughts, we're looking for opportunities in the secondary market, opportunities that make strategic sense in terms of the project portfolio that we have under administration. And obviously, we keep on impulsing the initiatives that are under position. In the particular case of airports, we have in this stage of socialization of the Campo de Vuelo initiative that Jorge Mario spoke about previously, pretends optimizing the operation of the El Dorado runways in order to have a larger rotation in the airplane flows. The idea here, if this is successful, the investments would be in the midterm. We are thinking that at the end of next year, we should be ready to make a type of investment different from the Cartagena airport, moving the airport to the Bayunca area. That's following its structuring phase and might have a midterm orientation as well as El Dorado airport. In the case of VIA initiatives that we know as Centro, that's defined by Caracapaipa and other zones around the coffee region and the broad corridor that we currently administrate, we're accelerating the structuring process in the measure of possible, because the expectation we have is that this is going to be a corridor that might start its development around 2024. So in summary, we have a series of pipeline projects, some short-term and some mid-term. We're seeking for opportunities, and obviously the indebtedness figures that Jorge Mario spoke of, we have the expectation next year to make an additional debt amortization. Okay, Maurice, thank you. In addition, Rodrigo Sanchez asks, from the optics of Grupo Argos, I don't know if it has been covered. The question is, Rodrigo, about the use of capital. I can collect this question and the two questions and the answer, Mauricio, with the previous one of the reacquisitions. From the optics of the business, the resources that will be added, as Mauricio explained, we're balancing carefully between the development of the initiatives that we have for the pipeline with the debt reduction or dividend payment. But we want to be sure that the growth opportunities that the organization has and faced with the commitments we have for another business partner, if keep on growing, not just in Colombia and the region, we keep on doing so in a responsible manner. And these are resources, and as Mauricio explains, we'll attend or the project pipeline or the identification of investment alternatives that we might find. We consider this might go to shareholders for usage, as I mentioned, the first answer is any of the alternatives, depending on the situation of the country and that the company might have next year. Liquidity, resource availability, indebtedness, and the availability of making repurchases. So Mauricio's answer is tied also to Grupo Argos because this is a group decision. Will we determine which portion of these resources goes to new projects, to new alternatives, or which of these can we count with for reducing our leveraging? Thank you. In addition, Rodrigo Sanchez asks that understanding that third quarter and not excluding, not requiring operations, the guidance for the company in 2022 is being covered into an 80-85%. The question is, if are we expecting a substantial reduction for the fourth quarter, or the contrary, we're expecting for the guidance to be exceeded? Well, thank you, Rodrigo, for the question. So basically, and as Jorge mentions, we believe that effectively the trend of the businesses will be a positive trend aligned with what we've seen in the last quarters. There are some numbers that definitely we have some adjustments and will be on those ranges, but also facing what we've been doing and presenting to the analysts, we need to be consistent with those figures. We're effectively are seeing is that at the end of the day, the message is that we are complying with our guidance goals, those that we have had given initially. In the case of Odensa, there's a point that Jorge mentions, and that's effectively from an accounting or bookkeeping point of view, the fourth quarter might have a reduction compared with the trend that we had seen in the first three quarters, product of the accounting methodology that we have previously explained. So this would be from an adjustment point of view, certain types of numbers that are different from the ones we have in the trend. But from a compliance point of view, we are easy with the guidance, and at a certain moment, we know that those numbers could be over, and that's a bit of what we wanted to mention. I wanted to emphasize on that last part, that guidance is on the conservative side. We would expect for a positive surprise better. Leonardo Prips asks, could you ask us, please, how the infrastructure vehicle is going, where Celsia, Odensa, and the real estate business would come together? Well, we've been advancing. From Bain's hand, and that's the most important consultant globally in the fund structures for private capitals. And looking at the different variables that the decision might have. Last week, we were in the United States, and we're doing a summit with an important number of actors that are acting as GPs or LPs or funds of funds, with a plan that we've been developing together with Celsius and Odensia's teams. The process advances positively. I'd say that the feedback that we had was very positive too. We need to bear in mind not just the structure that you're proposing, but the moment of the country and the moment of the markets for materializing this project. But we feel that we have advanced. Maybe if I could place this in percentages, between an 80 and an 85% of we've finished our thought to define the conditions before we end the year. Obviously, both here as in the Argos asset listing in the United States, the market conditions are fundamental. We keep on advancing in a positive track. We've already had deep conversations in respect of which should be the structures, if these are funds or are these several funds, the different jurisdictions where this could be incorporated, alignment of incentives and structures and teams who handle this. So I guess we are around 80, 85% of our schedule for us to have a definition and a decision ready for this year. And that same train of thoughts, Leonardo asks, how will be the exchange relation for the Celsia shareholders and Grupo Argos shareholders? I'd like to ask for a bit of time because it's not a taken nor approved decision, nor the structure that we will necessarily follow implies terms of exchange between the small shareholders. So that's a path of several that we can choose. It's not necessarily the only one. And this is something that's been structured and has not yet been defined in terms of metrics. So I wouldn't want to go ahead and say anything in terms of figures for that field. Okay, I'm going to combine two questions asked by Juan Camilo Dauder and Catherine Ortiz in the same sense. And that question is related with the acquisition of around 3 million assets that Grupo Argos made for Cementos Argos during the quarter. They're mentioning this initiative is related with the repurchase initiative. And in addition, Catherine asks, why do we buy ordinary shareholders shares instead of professional shares, considering that these are much cheaper? Well, thank you, Juan and Catherine, for the questions. Just wanted to mention here, what we did as Grupo Argos was not a reacquisition, because what we acquired was Cementos Argos, which just went to the market. We saw the opportunity. We saw there was an important package around 3.6 million shares that could be available at a price that, as we've mentioned, not just in the conference call, but as Jorge mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, and that is that effectively we see values that are substantially under the fundamental values. So we saw a very important opportunity of buying a relevant package at a price that we considered that was very attractive. And that was a little bit the strategy that followed. As Jorge mentioned, we constantly review different alternatives, different market alternatives to use our resources in the most efficient manner and value generator in for our shareholders. And effectively what we saw here, it was a market opportunity that arose, and that if they arise in a certain moment, we'll use them once again. Why did we choose ordinary, not preferred shares? Because the package that was in this moment available and that we could acquire without generating much market volatility were ordinary shares. But we constantly were looking at all the opportunities. and we're not closing ourselves to consider alternatives between preferential and ordinary actions. Okay, so there's no more additional questions. I want to thank you for being with us during this conference, and just wanted to remind you all that from the Grupo Argos team, we are available to attend any questions that you might have during the upcoming days about the results and the strategy of the company. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll be open for anything that you might need. Just let us know. So thank you for being with us.